Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everybody here. I appreciate your presence, and I hope that you will take out a Bible, follow along, make certain that all that is said is in accordance to God's Word. I hope that you will consider sharing this lesson. It'll be available online. I do not want you to think, though, that this lesson is solely for others. It is indeed for everybody in here as well. But there's this term that's out there, and I really don't like it. It kind of bugs me. I run into it all too frequently. As we talk to people that claim to be Christians and we talk to them about the importance of, say, like baptism, or perhaps we talk to them about the morality we find within the Scriptures and the importance of following it, following the pattern that God has given us in regards to worship. And the term that gets thrown out is legalist. You're a legalist. You're following legalism. And it's so on the tip of the tongues of the people that are in the denominational world that I am convinced they are convinced it is the number one threat that they face. I mean, it's just on the top of their tongue, on the top of their mind, constantly ready. They're like just waiting for the day to be able to say, "You're a legalist." Well, it's a frustrating thing to have happen. And I say that this sermon is not for them solely, because all too often I have looked in the past and the people that I have known that you might say grew up in the church, a horrible term, but what it means is that they were constantly being taught from the Bible. They were being shown an example from their parents, and they were seeing it within the church. And then as they grew, they swallowed this doctrine that we must avoid legalism. Well, I don't know exactly what people mean when they call people legalists. In fact, they oftentimes don't know. If somebody ever says, "You're a legalist," you need to stop and ask them what do they mean by that, because they have differing views, differing ideas. But basically what it comes down to is this idea: you're trying to say that we have to obey God and we do not have to obey God, which is a ludicrous concept for most of us, a crazy thought. But so many have accepted this wonderfully comforting message of, it doesn't matter what you do. Well, this morning I want to submit something to you. That God is the ultimate legalist. And so what they say, when they say you are a legalist, inadvertently they have complimented you. And inadvertently they have insulted God. And I want to make this case. I want to show within Scriptures this idea of God is the ultimate legalist. So here, people are complaining about the fact that you're so focused on rules, on doing what God says to do and not doing what God says not to do. You're so focused on those rules, you must be a legalist. Well, I submit that God is the ultimate legalist. And that's first because He's the one who makes the rules. James chapter 4 and verse 12, you and I don't have the right to make rules. And if really what we're saying is that you're a legalist and that you are setting yourself up as the lawmaker, yeah, that's a problem. But if what you're instead doing is taking the laws that God has made, the rules that He has made, and said we need to follow them, that's not a problem, that's a necessity. In James chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "There is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" And so he sets up God as the one lawgiver and judge. God's the legalist because He made the laws. He's the legalist because He's the one who then judges according to the laws. In Romans chapter 14, it says that we will stand before the judgment seat of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it instead refers to the judgment seat of Christ, but it says that we're going to be judged based on our deeds. He says, "Therefore we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." There are rules. There are things about that are good in life, and there are things that are bad in life. These are rules that God has made, and we're going to be judged based on them. Who's judging us? That's God. He's the ultimate legalist. He's the one who's judging. God's the ultimate legalist because He's the one who enforces the laws. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 through 31, after talking about how important it is that we not go away from God, that we not turn away from His Word and His will, He says in verse 30, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's going to be the one who enforces the laws, who makes us pay the price for breaking them. He's the ultimate legalist. You have a problem with that, you're going to have to take it up with him. He's the ultimate legalist because when he sent Jesus, who is the example of Jesus, the example of God, Hebrews 1 and verse 3, he is the exact representation of the Father. That is, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. In fact, it's in John that Jesus says that. In John chapter 14, Thomas says, I don't remember if I got the right person. My mind's not working terribly great right now. It was Thomas or Philip says to Jesus, "Show us the Father and that'll be enough." And Jesus says, "Have I been with you this long and you haven't figured it out? If you see me, you see the Father." John's very concerned in the Gospel of John of showing us that when you see Jesus, you see God. Earlier in the passage in John, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." At the very beginning of the book of John, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." That's talking about Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." Emphasizing Jesus and God. You see Jesus, you see God. Now I want you to go through this exercise in the book of John and see Jesus. And what we're doing is we are seeing God. God is showing to us who He is through Jesus. So let's start off John chapter 4 and verse 34. And I just want you to see if there's any emphasis at all on paying attention to what God says and following the rules. John 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." In John chapter 5 and verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." In John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." John chapter 14, verse 31, pay close attention to this one. "But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here." And John chapter 15 and verse 10, he continues this same discourse, but he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." And then finally in John chapter 17 and verse 4, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." So when we're given this picture of Jesus, it's a picture of somebody who is focused on rules, who is focused on the will of the rule maker, who is focused on the will of the Creator, the will of God, and says, "I will do exactly what He has commanded me to do." That's the exact representation of God. And so Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "He was tempted in all things, yet without sin." He set the example that says, "I'm going to live a perfect life." Now, in that last discourse, we were looking at John chapter 14 and verse 31. Really, that begins in John chapter 13, and Jesus keeps talking to them. They change locations, but He keeps talking to them in John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. I want you to notice a few other things in here. Go back again and read this in John 14, verse 31. "So that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here." When that's beginning in John chapter 13, Jesus has just washed their feet. And He says in verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did for you." Did Jesus set an example or not? Did Jesus set an example of emphasis on rules? Emphasis on obeying what God has said to do. In that same discourse, then Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, see if this sounds at all familiar to what was in chapter 14. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know." Did that sound at all familiar? What is said in John 14, verse 31? "So that the world may know that I love the Father." By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That was a commandment he gave. He says, this is how we're going to know you're followers of me, is if you follow my example. I carefully obey the commands. Here's a command. Will you obey it? John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, does that sound familiar? But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. There's a message in the book of John, and it is not just that Jesus is equal to God, that Jesus is deity. It is not just that he is the Son of God. It is a revelation of who God is and what God wants from us. And who God is one who follows the rules. And what his expectation then for us is that we be followers of the rules. And so God is the ultimate legalist by setting the example through Jesus, but then just by blatantly throughout his word, demanding that we obey, that we heed, that we hear, that we not be disobedient. I put up a few passages. I really intended to get rid of this little parentheses and put in etc. because there are so many passages in the Bible you have to ignore if you're going to say that rules don't matter. Patterns don't matter. God's will doesn't matter. In Matthew 17, verse 5, we're not going to go through all of these. We'd have to go through so much of the Bible. I feel fairly confident that if I took a careful amount of time, I could probably find a statement emphasizing obedience to God in every New Testament book. It's not like we're going to turn to this one book that happens to argue against this doctrine of, you know, you're a legalist. No, the whole New Testament does it. But Matthew 17, verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God speaks and he says, don't listen to Moses or Elijah. You listen to Jesus. What's he saying there? He's saying he's the one who tells you what to do. And he's the one you have to listen to. And on and on and on again, we can see, let's look at just a few of them. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Here he's saying, you are going to be judged, and some are going to receive life. They're going to receive glory and honor. But those who receive wrath and indignation are those who don't obey the truth. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You can't get around this. Even in this book that those who claim we're saved by faith only and our actions don't matter at all, they really love the book of Romans. But even in the book of Romans, it's emphasized over and over again. You've got to obey. You've got to pay attention to the rules that God gives. So I look at that and I say, you know what? God's a legalist. He's the one who makes the laws. He's the one who judges the laws, enforces the laws. He's the one who set the example of following the laws. He's the one who demands that we follow the laws. You have a problem with somebody being a legalist. You have a problem with God. Now, there is a problem with legalism. There is a place where that doctrine messes up. And if you are a legalist in the sense that you think your obedience is what saves you, you do have a problem. If you intend to go and stand before God and bring your record of life, all the things that you've done, and say, God, I belong in heaven because of all these things that I've shown you that I've done, you've got it wrong. With the exception of Jesus, there's not a man who has ever lived who could do that. And so in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you can boast about your life, you've got your focus in the wrong place. If you can boast and say, I've done such great things, that's why I'm going to heaven, you've got a problem with legalism. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, Jesus talks about this guy who has a list like that in his prayer to God. He's thanking God about how great He is. The prayer in verses 10 and 11, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank You that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. And so here he's got his list of these are the things I don't do. I don't do them. Here are the things to do. I do them. That makes me great. How that began was in verse 9. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He trusted in his behavior. I'm good enough to stand in the presence of God. That is legalism run amok. That's when it's a real problem. And so Galatians chapter 5 is going along with this. This is, by the way, is just one of those passages you need to know. There are a few passages in the Bible that so directly contradict to common doctrines that exist. There is a common doctrine that exists. We call it once saved, always saved. It's this idea of you cannot fall from grace. You cannot fall from grace. Then read these verses. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. It fascinates me that people say you can't fall from grace when Paul just says you have fallen from grace. That fascinates me. But here's what happened. You who seek to be justified by law. In other words, you try to make yourself right with God through perfect obedience. You can't do it. That's legalism. But the mistake is going too far with that, because without obedience, you cannot be saved. Do you understand that? Your obedience, your perfect life, which will never be perfect, will never save you, because your sins will condemn you. And your life will never be good enough to fix your sins. If your life ever was good enough to fix your sins, what was Jesus doing on the cross? What was the point of that? Just live better. Come on, everybody, just live better and Jesus won't have to die. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus died because we can never fix our sins. But you can't be saved without obedience. It cannot be done. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. God describes this coming day of judgment. And really, he starts off in verse 6, so let's go up there. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. That moment when Jesus comes with his angels and there's the flaming fire, it is a moment of joy and a moment of doom. For some, it will be their salvation. For others, it will be their condemnation. What's it going to depend on? Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You don't obey? Jesus doesn't come to save you. Jesus comes to cast you into condemnation, to make you pay the price for your disobedience. John chapter 14, verse 6, The reason why obedience is so important is that we need Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You have to have Jesus. So then, how can you follow Jesus without being like him? This is really the issue. We say, well, we recognize that Jesus is the one who saves, so we follow Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. How can you claim to be a disciple of Jesus and live the exact opposite of him? Jesus pays careful attention to all the commands and you pay no attention? That's not following Jesus, that's rejecting him. Jesus, how can you say you're following Jesus if he is the Lord and the Master, the King, and you ignore his authority? we had read for us this morning, Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what does Jesus then do with that authority? He says, go out, make people to be disciples of me. Convince people to follow me. The next thing he says is baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You tell people you don't need to be baptized, you're ignoring the authority. You're not following Jesus, you're rejecting him. What's the third thing he then says? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded. When you put emphasis on every command, you're not ignoring Jesus, you're not rejecting Jesus, you are following him and declaring him to be your master and your king. It's an easier life to ignore it, but it's a wrong one. How can you follow God if you're nothing like him? In 1 John chapter 1, it talks about how God is light and in whom there is no darkness. How can you say you follow God if you embrace darkness in your life, if you don't care whether you are righteous or wicked? Right or wrong. You're nothing like God. And then in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him, and the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. You want to say you have a relationship with God? You got to live like God. And I got to ask you, does God follow the rules or not? Jesus showed us the example. Did Jesus live righteously or unrighteously? You see, this isn't hard. It shouldn't be hard. But something happened. We go out from these walls and we go into the world with people that are worshiping God today, with people that are claiming to be Christians, and they have tremendous amounts of zeal, and they have at the tip of their tongue legalism. The moment you say, we should do what God said to do. You legalist. How dare you suggest such a thing? There's a passage in Galatians I want you to consider. Galatians is the place where this should have been cleared up for us. And by the way, it is. It's the place where it's cleared up for us, just not the way the world thinks. Galatians is where people had come to God through faith in Jesus. They had been justified, sanctified, made right. They had been saved. And some people came to the Galatians church and said, yeah, but you need to follow the old law. We talked about them in class this morning. They were the Judaizers. You need to be circumcised. That's what Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 was talking about. If you receive circumcision, then you are required to follow the whole law. So here these people are coming into a church and they're causing all sorts of trouble because they're saying, you've got to follow the law. Now, wouldn't that be a great time for Paul to say, stop obeying God? You got to stop focusing on obedience to God. Wouldn't that be the time to do it? Here somebody's focusing on the law, and you say, no, no, you got to stop focusing on the law. But instead, what does Paul do? In Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. You were obedient. And now you've stopped being obedient. His complaint is not their obedience. Not saying you guys are focusing too much on obedience. That's not it. But where'd it come from? So many people have accepted this doctrinal problem. So many people have accepted it. So many people that have been within the church. So many of your friends and your family members. So many of your neighbors have accepted this idea that a focus on God's rules is bad. Where'd that come from? To me, the answer to that is so incredibly obvious. And it wasn't the teachers in the book of Galatians. Where'd they come from? And the answer is it wasn't God. It was the devil. Because this is what he does. In John 8, verse 44, it says, he is the father of lies. He lies. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3. God says, you can eat from any of these trees except for this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You eat in that one and you will die. Satan shows us his operation method. He shows us that what he does is he takes the word of God, reverses it into an error, and presents that as truth. God said, if you eat this, you will die. Satan then says, you surely will not die. What happened here? It all goes back to the Pharisees. People will call us Pharisaical instead of legalist. That's the same thing. I'm sure you've heard that term as well. You're such Pharisees, so Pharisaical. The Pharisees were condemned for disobedience. They were condemned for disobedience. Satan takes that, reverses it, and says they were condemned for obedience, and the world swallowed it. That is the work of Satan. There is no place in the Bible that the Pharisees are condemned for being oh so careful to follow God. No place. But that's what the world has come to believe. Those Pharisees, they were so focused on obeying God, that's what God got upset with them about. You ever get upset at your kids because they were so focused on cleaning their room? They were so focused they even vacuumed. Oh, how dare you vacuum? You kidding me? But that's what people are swallowing. Look at these passages. Mark chapter 7. I've included verse 1 so we get the context of who we're talking about. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem. So the Pharisees, some of the scribes, some of the people of the law get around Jesus and they start complaining, you guys aren't following the law. Jesus doesn't reply by saying, you guys in the law, 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 you got to get off the law. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you guys got to start following it. So look what it says in verse 6. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. Were they following it? Was that the rebuke? No, they were neglecting it. You hold instead to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God. Was it because they were following it with great detail? No, they pushed it aside in order to keep your tradition, the traditions of men. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many things such as these. Was the problem their obedience? Yes, it was missing. It wasn't that they were being too obedient and too focused on the law. It's that they weren't following God at all. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 23, here we find Jesus talking about their focusing so much on the details. God said to pay a tithe, a 10th%, and they took it to a ridiculous level to where they're now taking out the grains that they have and counting them out. 9 grains for me, 1 grain for God, 9 grains for me, 1 grain for God. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So is Jesus rebuking them because they're so obedient? Because they are even taking it to this crazy level of counting out grains of sand? Well, grains of wheat? No. Jesus just says, you're just focusing on these little details and ignoring the entirety of God's law. You should do which ones of it? Just the important ones? No. You should do all of it. All of it. So somehow, God comes to the Pharisees and rebukes them for their disobedience, and the message comes out to everybody else that God rebukes them for their obedience. Now, how did that happen? Who would be behind a switch like that? I'm telling you, if this isn't Satan, I can't recognize him. If that's not the work of Satan, to take the truth, reverse it into an error, and declare it to be the truth, I don't know what the work of Satan is. Now here's my concern. My concern is so many people have become, and I say this without being insulting as it might come across, but they've become like dogs. See, Bonnie and I had dogs before. And we loved our dogs, and so we would give them special treats every now and then. We would have some meat, and we'd leave little pieces of meat left over, and we would give them to the dogs. And I realized at some point what an incredible waste that was. Because here I'm giving my dog a special treat. It's got seasoning on it. It's got meat. And what does my dog do? Wolfs it down. Right? My dog would eat it so fast it didn't touch the ground. My dog would eat it so fast it didn't touch the tongue. My dog would eat it so fast he had no idea whether it was savory or sweet, whether it was good or poison. And I fear this is what's happened in the world. They have been told legalism, 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 and it's just been repeated over and over again, and they have taken it, and without chewing it to see if it's truth, they have swallowed it and accepted it, and then tell everybody else, you gotta know, legalism, 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 it's bad, it's horrible, it's wrong to focus on obedience, and the world has swallowed it up, and don't you do it either. Don't you swallow it up like that. Take a moment and chew on these things and see if it makes any sense at all that God would rebuke us for following Him, that God would rebuke us for obeying Him, that God would rebuke us for being like Him. Does that make any sense at all? Is that what the Bible teaches? Again, I say this message is very, very important for the people in the world who have already swallowed this false doctrine. But my experience has sadly told me people within this assembly need to hear this over and over again. You focus on those rules because they matter. But don't focus on the rules because your perfect life will get you to heaven. Focus on your rules because your focus is on God. Being like Him and relying on Him for your salvation. Now, if there are any here who are not Christians, what that means is that you have sin in your life and you have not come to God, who is the one who is going to uphold this law. You've broken the rules of God and you haven't fixed it. And He is coming and He will punish. And we highly recommend, we beg you, we urge you to not wait, but to answer this call, this invitation from the Judge, from the Creator, from the Father right now. Come to Him in faith and He will forgive. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, why not repent of your sins and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins? He saves, but you have to obey. You have to answer that call. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, God doesn't miss it. Maybe nobody else in the world has seen or known what you've done, but God has. And He expects more from you. He has a path that will save us. The blood of Jesus still will save us in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. The blood of Jesus will still forgive us, but not if we pretend we've done nothing. We have to come to Him and confess. If your sin is of such a nature, we have a front row available. You can confess to us. We will pray for you, and God has promised He will forgive. He will take you back. Won't you come? As we stand and as we sing.